Up him this morning. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Outstanding. Okay, I would just like to point out a few things on the announcements this morning. We do need to talk about next Sunday. Does anybody know what next Sunday is? Oh, very good. Yes, and there are five Sundays this month, but we're going to be having our Thanksgiving potluck next Sunday after the 11 o'clock service. But the only thing that's different is the church will not be providing turkey or ham. So we just wanted to give you a heads up. So if you want to make your dish a meat dish, that would be wonderful. You know, God always provides on Potluck Sunday. So whatever we have is going to be wonderful. So please don't forget to make your best dish for next Sunday and join in the fellowship here at Calvary, okay? Next off, I do want to mention December 6th is the first Sunday of December. It will also be our cantata Sunday, where the choir will be doing their Christmas cantata. On that Sunday, there's just going to be one service at 10:30. Sunday school will be from 9 to 10, and the one service at 10:30. So if you show up at 8:15, you probably, nobody else will be here, okay? So mark that on your calendars. Also, very important, it is not on your bulletin, but please come tonight at 6 o'clock. It is our council meeting at 6 o'clock. And if you have been asked to be a chair of a committee for next year, really, we really want to see you there tonight. So a lot of good stuff goes on with that, and that's at 6 o'clock. And also, everybody knows about the bridal shower. That's going to be today at 1:30 because our pastor's getting married. So I'm looking forward to seeing all the ladies there. Also, let's see. Oh, we just welcome everyone. Everyone, we're so glad that you're here today. Welcome cards. If you would like to fill one out, that's fine. Also, prayer requests and joys. We always encourage you, if you have a prayer to share or a joy, we ask that you write that down and put it in the offering plate. And also, if you have been a blessing this past week outside the church, please put your salty service card in the offering plate as well. And do we have any other announcements that need to be made this morning other than Miss Betty? Entertainment books. Hold them up. Great Christmas presents, $30 entertainment books. I hope you guys have gotten them. They're going fast. Miss Nancy will be in the kitchen after the service. And now Miss Betty.
I just want to bring you up. Oh, I don't need that.
This will blow your ears off. We'll be having our children's home gift card starting today. I'm planning on going down to the children's home on about the 15th or 16th of December. So if you, as you know, last year we started doing gift cards instead of presents, and it was so successful. The children got to pick out things they really needed instead of just getting, you know, a bunch of Legos or whatever, you know. So the gift cards are really, really appreciated. And the three that are close to the children's home is the Walmart, the Target, and Best Buy. But they'll take Visa or MasterCard, anything that they can try to buy Christmas things with, the clothes they need, shoes they might need, whatever. So I'm going to start with that, and we have 1 month to do it. It's 15th today. I'll probably go down on the 15th of December. 120 are in our children. 120 children are in our cottages right now. And we also have foster children. We have a lot of children we take care of. But the 120 live there on a daily basis. And the way you can give it is either put a gift card in the collection plate and the counters will take those out and save them till I go down. Or you can give them to me, or you can make a cash or check donation. They'll take anything that helps them. So I'm just giving you a warning that next week and from then on, maybe I'll get a card every week. Thank you.
Well, amen. That is a We do support the United Methodist Children's Home, and I'm sure the children will be blessed. Okay, if you would please look in your bulletins for our opening prayer. Let us pray. Holy One, there is no God like you. In praise and thanksgiving, we come before you, ready to learn of your power, ready to follow your path for our lives, through days of jubilation as well as dejection. Help us realize your influence in the world. We ask simply for ears to hear, eyes to see, and minds to comprehend the blessings you bestow. Amen.
If you'd stand and turn in your hymnals to page 140, we'll sing Great is Thy Faithfulness. Turn your hymnals to page 882. We'll have our affirmation of faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
If you will turn to page 39, I'm going to ask if Katie and Benjamin will come. Benjamin's going to come from the choir. And if the immediate grandparents on either side would like to come, I would invite them to come as well. Katie and Benjamin have been a part of our church for about a year now. They started coming just before Christmas last year, and we welcomed their daughter Beth. Beth, would you like to come up? Why doesn't Beth come up? That's right, because she's ready for this baptism as well. All right, there we go. And this is Anna, Jolene, Carly. On page 39, we'll go through the baptismal covenant, number 2, for children and others unable to answer for themselves. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price. I present Anna, Jolene, Carly for baptism. Now, if I would ask the parents this question, if they would answer, I do, to the confession of sin. It's on the top of page 40. And the congregation can respond by affirming their faith as well. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? I do, is the answer. Okay. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves?
I do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? Will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life?
I will.
Do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ?
We do.
Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life, and include this child now before you in your care? With God's help,
we will proclaim the good news
and live according to the example of Christ.
We will surround
her with a community of love and forgiveness, that she may grow in her service to others. We will pray for her, that she may be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life. Now, we have just professed our faith, so I'm not going to ask that we do it again. So right now, what I want is to take this little child. And she's asleep, so that's maybe a good thing. Yeah. Let's see if she can stay asleep. Anna, Jolene, Carly. I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit work within you, that being born of water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I'm going to take a little walk down the aisle so everybody can see this little precious thing. There she is. She's even going to open her eyes for you. I think she likes it right here. What do you think? Can I preach with this in one hand? Take your bath. There. And we continue on the top of page 43. It is our joy to welcome our new sister in Christ. Through baptism, you are incorporated by the Holy Spirit into God's new creation and made to share in Christ's royal priesthood. We are all one in Christ Jesus. With joy and thanksgiving, we welcome you as a member of the family of Christ. Amen. At the bottom of page 43, the God of all grace, who has called us to eternal glory in Christ, establish you and strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may live in grace and peace. Amen. There you go. You're welcome. Thank you. Okay. Well, what do you say we give them a nice, warm welcome? She definitely opened her eyes for that. Thank you. And now we can have the children come forward. And look, she's getting practice early on. That's wonderful.
I think there's some other children that want to come up.
There's some other children that want to come up too? Well, that's a good thing. I need the candy up here. I'm going to tell you about a picture. Look at this. Now, look at this. And tell me what you think it is. Well, that's close. That's close. Maybe somebody out there could tell me what this picture is. It's the country's Capitol building, right, in Washington, D.C. It's a pretty magnificent building. This only shows you a little tiny piece of it, but it's huge. It's big. I bet you many of you have been to the Capitol and seen what it looks like. And what else is in the Capitol? We have the White House in the Capitol. What else? President Obama in the White House, that's right. I'm talking about buildings. What other kind of buildings do we have? Do we have The White House. We have a national monument. What else do we have in Washington, D.C.? Oh, we got a lot of fantastic, amazing buildings. But just think of the amazing, pardon? The Lincoln Memorial, yeah. We have some pretty amazing buildings that mean a lot to us, don't they? Don't they? They symbolize our country and our country's freedom, don't they? Don't they? And now, just imagine if somebody told you that one day all this was going to be torn down. All this was going to be torn down. How would you feel? How would you feel? Sad? Okay. Anything else? What about you guys? How would you feel if somebody told you that one day all this was going to be torn down? Mad. Okay. Mad and upset. That's exactly how the disciples felt, because that's exactly what Jesus told them was going to happen to the temple. And they felt that way about the temple that we feel about our national monuments. It would be those things came tumbling down. Why would Jesus? So they could be prepared, right? So that nothing made with forever. What lasts forever? What does last forever? Water? Nope, not even water. Water evaporates. What else? God's love. God is the one. God is the answer. We place our ultimate trust and faith in God. God is the one that's eternal. With confidence that God's love is for you all the time. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Gracious God, you are eternal in the heavens, but you are also eternal in our lives. And we pray and thank you for your glory and pray your blessing upon us for all ourselves in this life and the life to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here we go. The baby's too young for candy. But you can have a piece of candy. You're welcome. Will the ushers please come forward as we continue to worship God with our tithes and our offerings. Let us pray. Loving and merciful God, we come to you in prayer and thanksgiving for the many blessings that you bestow upon us every single day. We lift up your name in praise, and we pray, O God, that you will continue to bless us as a church and as a people, that we may walk closer to your ways and live in your truth. All this we ask in your Son's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Us, and we are very happy to have you worshiping with us today. As we approach this time of prayer, I want to mention a couple of things to you. Gene Clark had an accident this week and fell and tripped over something and is now limping around on his good leg. And so we are in prayer for him, but also especially because he found out just this morning that his sister, Doris Conaway, passed away after her battle with ALS. And so we are in prayer for the Clarks this morning, and especially Gene, who is not with us today, but who lost his sister this week. We also, of course, as I mentioned at the start of the service, we're worshiping and praying in solidarity with the people of France and those who have lost their lives, their families, and there were some Americans among them. We too know what it's like to live under the threat of terrorism and the actual execution of terrorism. And so we are in prayer with them. And I offer this morning a prayer of peace today when we need it so badly. But I would like, first of all, to have a time of silence that we may feel the Lord speaking to us and hear the Lord's voice in this few moments, where you may commune with God in your own way. And then if you feel called to do so, please lift up the name of someone, a place in the world, or a situation in life that needs to have God's healing touch today. Let us go to God in prayer. Loving and gracious God, all these needs are known to you. And we pray the blessing of your healing love to surround each and every one of them. We also pray today for the dream of peace, which is not only the absence of conflict, but the presence of true compassion and community. We pray for the dream of justice, not only appropriate consequence, but radical, inclusive dignity and equality. We pray, O God, for the dream of goodness, not only an end to corruption and evil, but the nurture of extravagant integrity. We pray for the dream of not only life beyond the grave, but present wholeness and restoration for all. Here and now, O God, we, your people today, give you thanks and praise, not only for the dream, but pray for the reality of shalom. Let us pray together the prayer that he taught his disciples by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
If you'd stand and look to the screen behind me.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, spirit is within me because you died and rose again. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken.
Our scripture this morning, the first one is found in your pew Bibles on page 1022. It is Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. At that time, Michael, the great prince, the protector of your people, shall arise. There shall be a time of anguish, such as has never occurred since nations first came into existence. But at that time, your people shall be delivered, every one who is found written in the book. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Our second scripture is found in Hebrews. Chapter 10, verses 23 and 25. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together as in the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And our final scripture this morning is found in Mark chapter 13. Verses 1 through 8. As he came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." Then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will this be, and what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished?" Then Jesus began to say to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginning of the birth pangs." The living word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Robin. Morgan Wooten was a basketball coach. He coached at Dematha High School in the Washington, D.C. area. His teams won 1,274 games while only losing 192 times. He was considered by everyone who knew him to be one of the great ones. Well, everyone, that is, except for his grandson. Wooten is one of only three high school coaches in the Basketball Hall of Fame. At his induction, he told a story about his grandson's first day of school. The teacher asked little Nick, "What's your favorite sport?" And he said, "Baseball." The teacher, who knew who Nick's grandfather was, said, "Not basketball?" And Nick said, "Nope, I don't know anybody who knows anything about basketball." The teacher was surprised, "But Nick, a lot of people think your grandfather Wooten knows a lot about basketball." And Nick snorted and he said, "Oh no, he doesn't know anything about basketball. I go to all his games and he never gets to play." Sometimes we see God the way Nick saw his grandfather, because we see the game of life going on and have a hard time seeing the hand of God anywhere in it. And we think God knows nothing about it, or God cares nothing about it, or God can't do anything about it. Because after all, we never see God get in the game. The scripture readings that we heard from Robin today talk about the art of having faith in a world gone mad, of seeing God's hand in the whirlwind of life around us. Each of these is an example of what we call apocalyptic literature. And some people use these kind of writings to try and make predictions about the future and to frighten people in the present. But that's not what these Bible readings are about. They are intended to bring us reassurance of God's love when we go through hard times. And God seems to be very far away. Daniel was written at a time when the Hebrew people and the Jewish faith were in a tough spot. They were in exile. They were oppressed. They were persecuted. Daniel was written to give hope to a people who had lost hope, to give faith to those who were losing touch with God. And chapter 13 of Mark's gospel was written about 30 years after the death of Jesus, to the early Christians, a community of faith that was also in a tough spot. They were a people who were fearful and hesitant about the future. These words were written to give them hope and faith in the God of the future. And Hebrews was written to the Jewish Christian community in Rome. And they were struggling with the Romans on the one hand and their Jewish brothers and sisters on the other. They needed a word of hope in a time of distress. Each of these communities was like Morgan Wooten's grandson, Nick. They saw the activity in front of them, but they couldn't see the hand of the one running the show. They were so afraid. They were anxious. They were losing hope. Now, have you ever seen the Carl Reiner and Mel Brooks skit called The 2,000-Year-Old Man? And some of you may remember that. Well, Carl Reiner plays a TV reporter, and Mel Brooks plays a 2,000-year-old man, and the reporter is interviewing the man. The reporter says, "Well, did you worship God in your village?" The man says, "No, at first we worshiped this guy in our village named Phil." The reporter said, "You worshiped a guy named Phil? Why?" The old man says, "Well, he was bigger than us, faster than us, and he was mean, and he could hurt you, break your arm or leg right in two, so we worshiped Phil." The reporter said, "I see. Did you have any prayers in this religion?" "Yeah," the man said. "Want to hear one?" "Please, Phil, no. Please, Phil, no." And the reporter said, "Well, okay, when did you stop worshiping Phil?" The old man says, "Well, one day we were having a religious festival and Phil was chasing us and we were praying, 'Please, Phil, no. Please, Phil, no.' And suddenly, a thunderstorm came up and a bolt of lightning struck and killed Phil. We all gathered around and stared at Phil a while, and then we realized there's something bigger than Phil." That's the ultimate message of the apocalyptic literature. There's something bigger than Phil. There's something bigger than the bad stuff that happens in our lives. That something bigger is God. That something bigger is faith in God's tomorrow overcoming our yesterdays and todays. That something bigger is the faith that God is indeed very much in the game. God is involved in all our pain and sorrow, our suffering and disappointment. God is bigger, much bigger than all the things that frighten and hurt us. Amen. Now, almost every church around Thanksgiving sings the hymn, "Now Thank We All Our God." As you sing it this year, as we might sing it this year, I want you to reflect on the story of this hymn. It was written by Pastor Martin Rinkhart in the early 1600s during the 30 Years' War. 6,000 to 8,000 people in his village and territory died in an epidemic, including the only other two clergymen in his town. So for weeks at a time, Pastor Rinkhart buried as many as 50 people a day, including his own wife and children. Either Rinkhart was just heartless and a bit crazy, or he was in touch with a deep spiritual truth about a God whose promises are sure and whose love never fails. If Reinhardt was right, if our Bible readings are telling us the truth, that in the midst of this world's trouble and sorrow, pain and disappointment, we can hold fast to the assurance of God's concern and involvement in our lives. But what are we to do? And how are we called to live our lives? I don't know whether you noticed when Robin was reading the book of Hebrews, there's a line in the lesson that says, "Let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds." Now, usually the word provoke is used in kind of a negative sense, as in, "Honest officer, I didn't aim to hit him, but he provoked me." But here in our scripture, it's used positively, as encouragement, as stirring up, as prodding and pushing and being active in love. You and I, all of us, those who have received and accepted the good news, we are called into a world full of scared, lonely, hurting people. And we are called to provoke one another into acts of love and works of mercy, into commitments to compassion, into doing the right thing for all the right reasons. And as we look at the events in France over the last week, we know that hate will never drive out hate. Only love will drive out hate. We are called to be the hand of God in the world, touching all with gentle and healing caresses of divine love, which is there for you and for me. There's something bigger than Phil. Amen. Amen.
We in the choir say there's something bigger than Ron. I'll pay for that. If you'd stand and look to the screen behind me, we'll sing Days of Elijah.
These are the days of Elijah. Declaring the word of the Lord.
that it's easy to get discouraged in the kind of world that we live in. But today we had a little bit of breath of newness and new life in the baptism of little Anna. Yes. And we are grateful for her life and pray that God will surround her with his loving care and that she may be not only a person of faith, but a leader, someone to bring others to Christ, that they too may know there's something bigger than Phil. May the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, our heavenly Creator, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit rest now and abide with each of you, now and always. Go in peace. Amen.